I finally dug in and felt like that I was going in the right direction. Now, you may not understand that, but I promise you there are some preachers here that understand what I'm talking about this morning. Oh, Joshua 14 and 12, we're going to just step right on into the message. We read in Joshua 14 and 12, just a portion of this verse. It says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." Now therefore, give me this mountain. I want to talk to you this morning for just a little bit about moving on to higher ground. You see, I don't believe we're there yet. God's done some awesome and wonderful things. We've seen some great moves of God. But somehow or another, in my spirit, I feel that God is calling you and I to move on to higher ground. Have you done very much studying upon Caleb, on his profile, his life? I want to tell you just a little bit about him this morning in the introduction of this message. He was a mighty warrior, a man of valor. He was a man that fully, 100%, he followed God. As I have studied this week about his life, and I thought, wow, could that be said about us? But in the story of Caleb, we find that the majority is not always right. Thank you. You see, in a world where democracy is the most forward or the most favorite system of the government, we hear the expression over and over again, the majority is always right. But can I say that not in this case? Matter of fact, I'd go ahead and say in a lot of cases, majority is not right. We understand that before the Israelites were able to enter into the promised land, and we know the story. Moses sent out 12 spies to scout out the land. We understand this morning that 10 came back with an evil report. But Joshua and Caleb said, "We're well able to take the land." So we understand in this story that the majority was not right. Caleb said, "Let's go up at once." See, I feel that in my spirit this morning. If we're going to move on to higher ground, we don't need to waste any more time. So Caleb said, "Let us go up at once." I'm studying about Caleb this week. I thought, Lord, he's a man that stood out in the crowd. While others were saying, it can't be done, Caleb was one that was saying, oh yes, it can be done. I don't know about you, but in my spirit, I just feel like saying this morning that, you know, we've not tapped into the best. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Amen. And Caleb was a man that stood out in the crowd when the other 10 were saying, it can't be done. He said, oh yes, it can be done. Can I tell you that you're sitting in a building this morning that majority would say that there was no way that in 91 when this church was organized that we could do it. But I'm here to tell you God sent some like Joshua and Caleb that said, yes, it can be done. Look what God has done. Look at your own personal life, amen. And there's so many things that you've dealt with in life that in your mind you thought there's no way that it can happen. But you kept on hanging on to the promises of God. And look where you are right now. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit up here. Well, glory. So Caleb says, let's go up at once. He stood out in the crowd. He was a man of zeal. Oh, give me somebody. This morning it's got the zeal of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Something burning on the inside of them that when others are saying, no way it can't happen, that you're just hanging on and saying, yes, I claim this mountain. He was a man of zeal. He was a man of passion. He was a man who followed the commandments of God. God give us men and women like Caleb. But I want to kind of turn it around just a little bit and look at the other side. We find that the Israelites were contaminated with the majority is always right. You better watch who you're following. Amen. They were contaminated with the majority is always right. They had that mentality. If 10 spies says there's no way that we can take this mountain, then we're not going to do it. But because of those 10 spies, it came back with an evil report. The Israelites refused to enter in to the promised land. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Oh, hallelujah. Can I meddle a little bit this morning? I promise you I won't meddle any longer than 12 o'clock. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, listening to? How many times in our lives we have that zeal, we have that passion, we're trying to follow the Lord and somebody will say, oh, you can't do that. And that's where we stop. And I want to tell you this morning, there's also a flip side of that. Amen. You better be careful what you speak over people. Parents, you need to be careful what you speak over your children. It's important. They came with an evil report, and the Israelites believed that evil report, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. How long are we going to wander in the wilderness until we latch a hold to the promises of God and hold on to them? Caleb said, give me this mountain. While others were saying it can't be done, he hung on. Now, when I studied the story about Caleb, I couldn't help to think and feel that Caleb, amen, he didn't use his natural eyes. See, that's what gets us in trouble. We look at situations, we look at problems. How many have looked at things until the point that you just thought, there's no way. I can't do this.
But when I studied the story about Caleb, I understood that Caleb didn't look through the physical eyes. He used his eyes of faith.
In other words, when he looked at that problem, his faith was in Almighty God that was able to change that problem. He looked through the eyes of faith. The other spies, just let me ask you this question this morning. What are you seeing? Amen. When you look at the days ahead and you look at your future, what are you seeing? The other spies, they saw walls and they saw secure cities and what they saw, it was impossible to break through these walls. But Caleb saw cities that could be easily be conquered through the majestic power of God. So this morning, I'm going to ask you one more time, what are you seeing? Whose report are you going to listen to? The other spies, they saw giants. You know, a giant is a giant. But they went on and They went a little bit deeper. They saw giants that made them feel like grasshoppers. Amen. I don't know what you're fighting this morning, but I've come to tell somebody that giant's going to come down. Amen. You're going to enter into your Canaan land. Amen. We've claimed this mountain. We're going to make it. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to make it. But they saw giants that made them feel like grasshoppers. But Caleb, he saw an opportunity to prove to the world that a living God can do the impossible. Amen. Do you have that kind of faith this morning? My Heavenly Father is able to do the impossible. I want you to see something else. The other spies went home discouraged. See, not only if you're talking a bad report, you know. We can't take this land. There's giants in that land. There's walls, there's cities, and that's what they taught. And it got into them too. Because you be careful. If it's in there, it's going to come out. What's in there comes out. But what's in there is what gets you in trouble. These spies, 10 spies, they left discouraged. They left depressed. They left hopeless. Why? We can't take this city. God's promised us something that we can't take a hold of. They were in a hopeless situation. But I want to bring your attention to Caleb. He went home with a burning zeal and an intense urgency to conquer that land. God promised me that land. I'm going to take hold of it. It's mine. Well, the other spies, they saw problems. Isn't it amazing that you ever been around somebody that's all they can see is problems? I mean, that's their mentality. That's all they see. Amen. It's the problem. But I'm here to tell you, in the midst of the problem, we have an awesome God that's able to do great and wonderful things. Amen. The other spies, they saw problems. But Caleb, he saw the solution. And the solution was God. So Caleb makes a specific request. Give me this mountain. Now, was he asking too much? No, God had already promised him. He had already promised him this land. Now, here's another situation that I want to bring out. Sometimes, in the minute world that we live in, and the microwave and the bun coffee pots and all this kind of stuff instantly. Everything we think, you know, God promises something, we're going to take a hold and it's going to happen right then. I want you to see this in this story. Amen. There's sometimes in our lives as a Christian, we have to lay hold on the promises that He has given us, and we have to hold on till our season. Am I preaching good yet? Somebody tell me when I'm not. Amen. You see, we go through seasons in life, and we see this with Him. God had already promised it. He was a man of faith. He held on to that promise. So, I wonder this morning, are we going to hang on to the promises that God has given us? Now, we find a problem in Numbers 13 and 1. We find the report. Listen close, and you hear what I'm fixing to tell you. The devil is always going to bring up the problem. He's going to show you the reason why you can't do what God's called you to do. He's going to give you a reason why you can't latch hold to the promises of God. But look at this report in verse 28. The people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of the Amalekites. Now, then I want you to notice in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Do you believe that this morning? I do. I believe that we're well able to overcome it. Now look at verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people. Why? Because they're strong. They're stronger than we are. Then verse 32 says, and they brought up an evil report by saying, we've gone to search it. It is a land that's eaten up with the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw were men of great stature. Amen. Then let's look at verse 33. And there we saw the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight as grasshoppers. Now, I said all of that to say this. What motivated Caleb to move on to higher ground? You see, there's got to be something that motivates us. You see, we will stay where we are unless we get motivated. Oh, I'm preaching good. Somebody help me here. You see, you got to be motivated. Brother Gary motivated us Sunday morning, and I left motivated. We have to be motivated. But what motivated Caleb to want to go on up to higher ground? You see, I've got to get different with where I'm at if I'm going to get motivated to go on to something better. Can I tell you this morning, under the authority of God's Word, that God has got something better for you? Now, I realize that Canaan land is a type of heaven. But listen to me. One of our members this morning went to Canaan land. Amen. He's in heaven. But can I tell you that everything that we have in God is not just when we get to heaven? Amen. See, we got to be motivated to be like Caleb, that we're going to hang on to the promises of God and we're going on up to higher ground. God's got greater things in store. But what motivated Caleb to want to go to higher ground. My first thought was this. He remembered God's promises to him. I wish I could tell you this morning, as a minister of the gospel, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, I mean in love with God, committed 100%. I wish I could tell you that everything is just perfect in my life. But I'm not going to lie to you. It's not. We go through troubles. We go through trials. We go through times of discouragement. Just in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I told somebody, I can handle one thing at a time, but my goodness, when it's 2, 3, 4, 5 things that you're dealing with at one time, amen, it has a way of taking a toll. And I can see some of you spiritual ones out there saying, well, we need to pray for the pastor. Yeah, you do. Amen. You ought to pray for yourself too, because you go through the same things that I do. We all go through those things. But listen, I've got to tell you this morning. What motivated him to go on to higher ground, even though he had not entered into the promised land, he held on to the promises of God. Where would you be now if you hadn't by faith out and said, I'm going to hold on to the promises of God? My God shall supply all my needs according to the riches in glory. Now we look around and we say, well, I need this, I need this, and I need that. Well, you need to hold on to that promise. So I want you to see, but once again, let's go back to the microwave style. We want everything now. But there comes a time in our lives that we have to stand on the promises of God, even though things are not perfect. And we see this with Caleb. He had a promise. In Joshua 14:7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to spy out the land. I want you to notice that. I want you to focus just for a minute. I'm going to close. I want you to focus. He's 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent him to spy out the land. Then Numbers 14:23, the Lord said, surely they shall not see the land which I have sworn unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me. Now he's talking about those that come back with evil report, right? Then in verse 24, I want you to pay close attention. My servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. And not only that, and his seed shall possess it. Now, he's latching on to a promise, even though he's not entered into the promised land. He's still latched on to that promise, and he's holding on to it. Now, I want you to notice, he had a different spirit. Now, what's that mean? He had a different attitude. Amen. How many people has got that kind of attitude, that kind of attitude? No, it ain't going to happen. I don't preach. He talked about this, and he talked about how good God is, but my blessed Lord, I've been in the way for 40. You get out of the way and hold on to the promises of God. Amen. Have you been there? You know what I'm talking about. There comes a time in our lives that we have to go back. And I feel sorry for people that don't know the promises of God. You ought to get up daily in the Bible, reading the Bible and reading the promises of God and latching hold to all those promises. Yes, Lord, they're mine. Boy, that's some good preaching. In Joshua 14:9, we find that Moses looked Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet has trodden shall be thy inheritance, and thy children's forever. Why? Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Now, can I ask you a question? Are you standing on the promises of God? Are you standing on the promises of God? And the next thought, what motivated Caleb to press on to higher ground? He remembered the faithfulness of God. I mean, he's 40 years old. But he's getting older, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, so just stay with me. He remembers as he's 40 years old and he's getting older, he remembers the faithfulness of God to him. Look at Joshua 14 and 10. Caleb's saying, and now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Oh, you're here today because of God. Amen. Listen to me. Somebody needs to hear this. You're breathing today because of God. So he says, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 40 and 5. Now, a while ago, we was 40. These 40 and 5 years. Even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And look what he said. And now, lo, I am this day fourscore and 5 years old. Well, I've never been real good at math. My daddy could walk up on a job and figure all these boards that he needed and everything just in his mind. And I'd say, how many we need, Dad? And he'd quote it out. And boy, I thought, man. And then I'd do the job, and we wouldn't have no boards left. He had it figured right. Amen. Then after Dad died, I realized I could go up and figure a job, and I had 20 boards left over. Or I needed 20 boards. Lord help me, Jesus. I don't know why I got off on that. I've never been good at math. But if you look at this, you see he was 40, then he's 45, and now he's 85 years old. 35 years later, Caleb's still remembering the promises of God. I don't know how old you are, but you do not need to forget the promises of God. You need to stand on the promises of God. And notice what Caleb said at the age of 85 in verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day. Ooh, I feel the Lord in that. I'm 62 years old. I'm going to latch on to that promise. Amen. I feel as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Wow. I'm talking about some zeal here. Amen. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. If you allow me for 2 minutes to preach like my coattails on fire, I'm going to say some things that you need to hear. Run, let's come to the piano where you'll relax. Whew, hallelujah. Roy Jones has woke up now. Been out blowing them trees all night. Amen. Bunny said, you're going to go home and take a nap. And he said, no, I'm going to do like the rest of them do. I'm just going to sleep during church. I wasn't supposed to tell that, was I? But I've got a word for somebody. If God was faithful to him at 40, and he was faithful to him at 45. And now we see that God is faithful to him at 85. Then why in this world are we not holding on to that promise? David said, I was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed a begging bread. Why? Because God is faithful. He's been faithful to me. He's been faithful to you. I'm going to speak to us senior citizens now. All you young lads can take a break, go get a cup of coffee. I still remember, you know, thinking, you know, that when I get older and I retire, in your mind, you're thinking all these things that you're going to want to do because, you know, you weren't able to do them. You was raising kids. You was a job. You was working. You was doing all these things. And in my mind, boy, when I get old enough to retire, you know, we're going to travel. Coming down the mountain to Fort Payne wears me out. My back goes out more than I do. I was waiting on you to get with me. But I want to talk to us senior citizens. You're sitting by one of them, look at him and her and say, he's talking to you. Some of you said that I'm talking to you. Nothing wrong with being a senior citizen. I like getting my coffee free and getting it at a cheaper price. I like that. But can I tell you, in the kingdom of God, your age has nothing to do with what God can do. So many people we see in their senior years feel like that they're done. They're of no value. But can I tell you, that's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. You are of value. God, give us some of those praying grandmothers and some of those praying granddaddies, amen, that will get between hell and that their children and their grandkids and say, devil, you're not getting these kids. I claim them for the kingdom of God. Give me some grandma, grandpa that'll pray over the church daily. Pray over the members daily. And I'm speaking to somebody, and I could probably come right to you, but I'm going to turn this way. Your age has nothing to do with it. At the age of 85 years old, Caleb said, give me this mountain. I know some of you, I'm reading your minds right now. I got that gift. It's in operation. I'm at the golden years, but I ain't seen the gold yet. Hold on to the promise. Claim your mountain. Brother Gary, I refuse to be a has-been. And I refuse to get to the age that I just sat down on God. At 85, Caleb is still saying, give me this mountain. You talk about faithfulness. The faithfulness of God. Joshua and Caleb is still living. And you study this out. They're still living. Where's those 10 spies? They done died out. But they're still holding on to the promises of God. God's been faithful. Would you stand? I'm not through. Don't give up on the promises of God. Moses told them, your foot has trod on this land. It's yours. It belongs to you. I've been amongst those that's wandered round and around in that wilderness. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's time to latch on to the promises of God. I believe God's got great things in store for me, for you, even for Sister DeHart. He's got great and wonderful things in store for us. And I'm going up to higher ground. How many is willing to go with me? How many is willing to hold on to that promise? Hold on to that promise. I want to talk to the senior citizens once again, because I feel it in my spirit that you need to hear what I'm saying. God's not done with you. What God started, He's going to finish. Sometimes as we get older and we face different things, and it's so easy to become discouraged and get on a down note. But I feel like in my spirit this morning that God would have me to say once again, it's not a matter of your age. It's a matter of what God has promised you. When everything else is said and done, we die and we go to heaven, it's going to be worth it all. But I'm here to tell you, God's got great things in store for you right now. And you need to walk in it. Be like Caleb. Be faithful. Be dedicated. Be committed. Father, we thank You, Lord, this morning. We thank You that, Lord, You've given us strength to stand before these people and to speak what we feel that You has placed upon our hearts this morning. But I pray that, Lord, that You'll help us to be like Caleb, of a different spirit, a different attitude. I pray that, God, that You'll help us to be dedicated and to be committed to following You and Your direction. Lord, help us to lay hold to that promise that, Lord, that You have given us. And Lord, help us not to get discouraged, but help us to hold on to that promise. God, give us that zeal like You gave Caleb, that he kept on claiming that mountain. In Jesus' name we pray. There be anyone that